title because I'm not too prone to do it. But the title is God's Teaching and Worship Between the Cherubim. Let's pray just one more little time. Heavenly Father, now we commit ourselves to the reading of your word, a little preaching thereof. And, O God, we're depending on you tonight to edify us by the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin reading in the book of Numbers, first of all, the 7th chapter, and verses 89. I think that's maybe all I need. The 7th chapter of Numbers and 89. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one, that's the hymn, speaking unto Moses from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of the testimony, from between the two cherubim he spake unto him. Moses heard God speaking off the mercy seat from between the two cherubim. Now in 2 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, and verse 6, it says, 16, I think I got a wrong verse here, but that's all right. I sometimes get my verses mixed up here. That, mine doesn't fall on it here, but it's a repetition of the very same thing, of God speaking from between the cherubim on the mercy seat here. And I'll see if I can find the right one over here in 2 Kings. Now, I don't much worry because it's all saying the same thing. It's just a matter of running it through how God is doing it. Now in the 15th verse of the 19th chapter, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. See? Now, over in Revelation, way back in the last book of the Bible, it says here, I think we got the 4th chapter, if I find it now, and yes, the 6th and 7th verses, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes, before and behind, and the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, these beasts, of course, according to Ezekiel, are the cherubim of Almighty God. Now, according to our scripture, we see that God resides or dwells, as the scripture said, amongst or between the cherubim. He speaks forth from their midst, and he is also worshipped there. Because remember, the blood must be sprinkled upon the mercy seat before God can accept the people and their worship. Now, this thought or this scripture of God dwelling amongst the cherubim on the mercy seat is not a figure of speech. You see, many people think it's a figure of speech, that he actually doesn't dwell amongst the cherubim, but we prove that he does. And you know as well as I do, maybe even more so from your studies, that the tabernacle of the wilderness wherein the mercy seat was is a type of the church today in its pilgrim journey toward the Lord. And that type has to have a true antitype in the heavens, because God said to Moses, see that thou make all things, when he told him how to set the tabernacle up, see that thou make all things according to the pattern which you saw in the holy mountain. And Moses praised God, the pillar of fire between the cherubim. And of course, John saw him there, as we showed you in Revelation, the 4th chapter, in exactly the same position. So we see that God speaks and is worshiped between the cherubim. Now, to understand the heavenly or spiritual, we will have to look at the types that we have in the Word of God, given to us by Moses. Now, where are the cherubim? The answer is, the cherubim cover the mercy seat. That's right. That's the Bible teaches. The question then is, where is the mercy seat? And the answer is, it covers, as I read in the scripture, it covers exactly the ark of the testimony. And the ark is 2.5 cubits by 1.5 cubits, and that's exactly the size of the mercy seat with the cherubim. It also is 2.5 by 1.5. Now what is the ark? See? It is the place where man can meet with God. Now let's go back to Exodus, the 25th chapter, and see this. Now remember, I'm working on type here, which is absolutely scriptural. Exodus 25, and we go 10 to 22. And thou shalt make an ark of chittim or acacia wood, 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put it in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it, and thou shalt make staves of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put the staves and the rings by the sides of the ark, and the ark may be borne with them, and the staves shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put in the ark of the testimony, which I shall give thee. Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. Notice, a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them, in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubim on the end thereof. Now, according to history and Josephus, there is absolutely no picture or anything in existence what these cherubim look like. The best record is in the book of Ezekiel and over in Revelation. That's the best we can get. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the face of the cherubim be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee, and there I will meet with thee, and commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all the things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. See, what is the ark? It is the place where God can meet with man, or rather I should say where man can meet with God. Now notice here that the cherubim are guarding God. They are guarding God and keeping man from God, in order that he cannot have contact with God, fulfilling what was said over here in the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 24. It says here, so he drove the man out, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the tree of life. See, they were placed there, and God was dwelling there, and he's speaking from there, and man yet has got to meet him there, but the cherubim are guarding God and keeping man from getting to God. See? That's the effect. Now, man cannot just go to God the way he feels he wants to go, or any time he wants to go, in a sense as though man has sovereign rights, and God doesn't allow it, because God is a sovereign God. God has said how man is going to meet with him, and man has to take the way that God allows. See? Now God has made a way of life, even though the cherubim are there, see? Guarding God and keeping man from God, yet he's made a way for it. And it's to approach unto him by God's prescribed way. And in no other way is God accessible. Now, I'm making a very rough statement here. See? It's a rough, tough statement. I've either got to back up by scripture or back away and tell you I'm telling you a lie. See? Because it's not laissez-faire, free-for-all. See? It's like the old spiritual, everybody talks about heaven ain't a-going there. See? Everybody talks about hearing from God and worshiping God. It isn't necessarily correct. See? There is a prescribed way. Because what Moses made was according to a pattern. So therefore the pattern is tight. And anti-type is in the heavenly, and if you don't believe it's true, how come it takes the blood of Jesus to purify the heavenly? You can't deny it. We're on Bible ground here, see? Now here is where many people go wrong. They say it is written, man has access to God by the mercy seat, wherein is the shed blood. Now I can't argue with that, because of course I will not argue. I can only say it is also written. See? Remember, the devil came to Jesus, and he said, it is written. And Peter said, it is also written. You can take the word of God and pervert it. You can quote it. And by misapplying it, you are doing the same thing as perversion. See? I say it is also written. You have left out something. See? You've left out something. Just like Eve, trying to get to a certain place without the right step. No matter how much blood you shed and place on the mercy seat, it won't do one bit of good unless the mercy seat is on the ark. So let's take it off the ark. Nope. You leave it on the ark. He said you put it on the ark. And when you put it on the ark and do what I tell you, he said you'll hear from me, I'll meet with you. You can hear from God and worship God if you go in God's prescribed way. Right. See, now let's lay it down. Right. Just lay it down. No matter how it cuts, the thing is, let it cut. See? Now, the solid gold mercy seat of God's own grace is of no avail without the gold plated up. See? The solid gold mercy seat. It's solid gold. There's nothing there but unadulterated beaten gold. It's absolutely beaten until it's perfect. There's nothing there but absolute perfection. See? But that's not the case with the ark. The ark is gold plated. It is acacia wood and gold. See? It is gold. It is the gold covering the acacia wood signifies God covering man. You didn't catch that, did you?
Amen.
I hope you're catching. I hope you're catching because I said it's sitting on an ark. And the ark is wood and gold combined. And the wood is man. And the gold covering the man is God. You got a combination. See, that's where God sets the solid gold mercy seat where you get to God. See, I know this is not too popular, but I think there's enough of us here who can be genuinely called followers of the message of William Branham to understand what I'm talking about. It is God covering man, manifesting in man, before man gets to God. See? Right. He's got to do it this way, or man will not get to God. The breakthrough to God is the breakthrough by man. Now, of course, the ark is Christ. But you don't stop there and say, glory to God, I've got it. All I need is Jesus. Because it is written, he that hath the Son hath life. It is also written, except you drink his blood and eat his flesh. There is no life in you. You don't come to him just for the life of that blood, but you've got to get that flesh. See? This is what the ark is all about. This is what worship and hearing from God is all about. It is what Jesus himself said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. See? One will not do without the other. Now let's look at the ark. To begin with, it had just one thing in it. I said to begin with. Didn't say to finish. I said to begin with. In the beginning, when this ark was made, see, which is how you're going to meet with God, there was just one thing in that ark, and that was the covenant of God's word, or the testimony, as testament, as God called it, which is a covenant. See, that's number one. Now remember, I read that to you. Then to it was added Aaron's rod that budded. Now that's found over here, if I got my listing here right. In the 17th chapter of Numbers, and the 10th verse, and the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to keep for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, so that they die not. Now, thirdly, the pot, the golden pot of manna that fell from heaven was also put in there. That's over here in Exodus, the 16th chapter, and verse 33. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generation. See? In other words, to be kept for the elect seed. Now, This is confirmed that this is the content by turning to the book of Hebrews and chapter 9 and see in verse 4. Now mentioning the holiest of all, which had the golden center and the ark of the covenant overlaid round with gold, wherein the ark was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. So you see, we've got the perfect picture there. Now, what is the testament? The testament is the word of Almighty God given by His ordained prophet. There is no other way to get a covenant or a testimony from God. And I don't care if you've got preachers running around here saying, I've got a covenant from God. If you give me $20, you'll get your prayer answered. That man is a liar from the ground up. He's an absolute liar. And you can tell him the word of God said so. Because there's no such thing as a covenant comes to anybody except by a prophet. And you women preachers who say you've been ordained to preach by your minister, I want to tell you that's what the Pope did. When he told a priest to go and do certain things to contrary the word of God. Where do you get a covenant with God? If you can raise your voice in a pulpit or any place else and dare to take authority over man when that covenant did not come from a prophet, but it came from yourself. Shame on you calling yourself a Christian. Do you cut your hair and say you can stand up and pray? You cannot even pray and speak to God with your hair cut. You say the church allows it. I want you to find me any place in the Bible where God ever gave a covenant to anybody outside of the prophet. Amen. The covenant word of Almighty God comes by a prophet. Amen. Never has come any other way. Never will come any other way. Because that's the way God ordained it. I know people don't like this. I don't like it. Certainly they don't like it. Yeah, I might not even like it myself in spot, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to stick to it. There's one thing I'll stand before God justified, and there's one thing I did my best to preach the word. If it cut my own throat and I saw my own blood run. I want to be honest with the word of God. Secondly, what is the manna? It is the word come down from heaven. Spiritual food for the journey. See? Into eternity. The word of God on which the children fed. For it says over here in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, which we go to. Kind of slow at finding, but it's all right. He's over here, third verse. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, which comes by the prophet, which lies in the ark whereby you approach Almighty God. What is this manna? This manna is the broken word of God to the people whereby they see. It's the same word that the prophet sees, John. It's the same word everybody sees, John. It's one word from one God to one people. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel real good now. Surely this is the truth. What is the rod that budded? It is God's approval upon those who have the authority to break the word or the bread to the people. Thank you for that little amen. I'll prove it. Numbers 16:41 to Numbers 17:13. Oh, this is precious as far as I'm concerned. I'm not trying to vindicate preachers. You may think I'm the one preaching. I just want to vindicate God's word and set you right according to God's word, not according to Lee Dale or anybody running around telling you something different if they're doing it. In verse 41, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. They killed the people of God. What man can cause an earthquake? Open up the earth to swallow me. My, these people must have been blind, grossly blind. See? It came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and Aaron that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it. God come down. Don't take a hand in this now. And the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get up from among the congregation, that I may consume them in a moment.
And what happened? The two men fell upon their faces, not the congregation. They stood back with a big sneer. See? And Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put in the incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone up from the Lord and the plague has begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, ran to the midst of the congregation, beheld the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and prayed with David. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man upon his rod. See, now remember, these are the 12 tribes. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. Notice where I'm going to meet with you. See? And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of the princes gave them a rod apiece. And for the prince one, according to their father's house, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, Moses went in the tabernacle witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds and bloom blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord on the children of Israel, and they looked, and every man took his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony. Where is the testimony? It's in the ark. See? Now, to be kept for a token against the rebel.
Amen.
Rebel is what he called them. See? Thou shalt quite take away their murmuring to me, that they dying off. See, rebel against God would die because of this condition. See? The term of Israel spake to Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near to the tabernacle of the Lord shall die, shall we be consumed with dying. Now you'll notice here that these people, the Levites at this time, were the ones qualified by God as the ministry that brought the word of the prophet to the people. See? And they didn't want it. They were turning it down, but God told them, warning them even with the strict, stringent measure of the penalty of death upon them, that they must not do it. Now we can see a pattern of worshiping and hearing from God. There is absolutely no way to take advantage of God's provided way, which is Christ, unless we come as he prescribed. See, now that's true. Now see, look, always you can sell a fundamental person on the idea that you got to be born again. Oh yeah, that's not hard at all. See? But I tell you what, you go to anybody that doesn't even know about being born again. You go to anybody that just even claims to be a normal Christian. And you say, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? They say, yes, sir, I believe he's the Christ. Well, my Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Does that make that man born of God? Nothing, did it? See? There's a whole lot more of the scripture written too, because the Bible distinctly said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So therefore, if you believe he is the Christ, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, because if you haven't got the Holy Ghost, proves you don't believe. That just boils down to the same thing. See? They don't want God's provided way. They'll talk about Jesus. They'll talk about worship. They'll talk about hearing. They'll talk about many things that will put them right in the place where they feel is eternal life, and they're in the hand of God's salvation, and they're a million miles from truth. Why? Because they haven't come the prescribed way that God laid down. See? Now, as I say, we can see this pattern here evolving. That as much as we want to talk about God's provided way in Christ, which is true because that is God's provided way, you have to come to God's provided way and God's prescribed provided way. No man can ascend up to God, that mercy seat, see? No man can ascend up to God, get to that mercy seat, except he come by the broken, revealed word of authority over which God watches. See, because God watches over his word to perform it. Now listen, where is that word? the Word of God's covenant is the ark over which is the mercy seat wherein God is worshiped and seated. See? Now that's what he said here. You've got to come in God's prescribed way, which is true, because that's what's in the ark. See? And what's in the ark is where God meets with men in his prescribed way. Because in there is God the Word, and in there is Aaron's rod, and in there is manna. See? That is 2-1. God, Word, broken Word, and a man. See? Just like Christ. Just like that with Christ. See? The Word of God after he fulfilled. The Word of God broken out as it came down in the man. And the pattern holds just the same today. You cannot change it, see? He said, I'll watch over my word to perform it.
Yeah.
Where is that word? The word is in the ark. You want to get to the mercy seat where God has mercy. What mercy? What he showed in the word. You got to come by God's prescribed way.
Yeah.
See? Which is how God wants it. Now notice carefully. Israel in the time of Moses desired to bypass all of this and enter right into ceremonial worship of God, and they died for it. Now remember, they are Israel. That's right, the only known of God. That's right, the Israel was the only known of God. He said, of all nations, you're the only one I've taken to, the only one that worships me, the only one that got anything to do with. He said, you are it. Now watch how they reject the one that God chooses to give the word to. Now over here in the book of Numbers, the 16th chapter. See? Let's read the first 3 or 4 verses. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the sons of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up. Now who are these? These are Levites. Yes, sir. Levites were ordained to minister. And yet, right of their midst, right of their group, these ones rise up. And what do they do? They rose up before Moses with certain children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly. Now you know as well as I do that a prince is the son of a king, but there aren't any kings in Israel. So a prince reduced to our terms is like a tycoon, a businessman. See? Right. A man that's noted because of his renown. That's what we're talking about. High education, station, breeding. They're looked up to. There's something here that makes them a leader. See, in the natural, that men look up to and desire and love. And they come against Moses, the whole 250. They're famous. Men are renowned. And they gather themselves against Moses, and then it consequently gets Aaron because Aaron's a spokesman. And they said to him, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then, lift you up yourselves above the congregation order. And when Moses heard it, not Aaron. Aaron couldn't do a thing. He had to stand back. Moses heard, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah. Now Moses talks now, see? Doesn't need a spokesman this year. And under the covenant he's saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who I is and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he has chosen will he cause to come near unto him. And then he tells them how they're going to do it. Now you see, what happens here, Israel rejects God's ordained one to bring the word to them, which is the testimony. Now watch how they reject the chosen ministers who break the word, which we read to you over number 17. See, you'd think that they had learned a lesson by this time. You'd think that they had learned enough of the authority of God and how God does things that they would listen now. You'd think they'd had enough warning by the fact that these men were destroyed. But no, that doesn't bother them. They're rebels. Sure. Now they come up and they say, we will not take the tribe of Levi over, will not have men to stand between us and God. In other words, it's not mediatorship now, it's merely ministry. Because the blood takes care of the mediatorship. See, there's no blood nobody could approach. There's a white mouth, there's nobody could get there. See? The blood makes the way, but you still got to be in the prescribed manner of the worship and hearing from God. Now notice, turn down the one that brought the word, turn down the one who ministers, see? And thirdly, they loathe the manna, but they want a ceremonial worship. See? They say, look, we're going to get to God, we're going to hear from God, we're going to talk to God, we're going to worship God, we're going to make it to God, we're going to have it our way, and we're going to get rid, we're going to bypass it. Now, you can't bypass it, because this is a type of the very heavenly that we're looking for. You can't do it. See? You just can't do it. So many people think you can. And they said, reload this man. Reload him. He didn't want to hear the word of God broken. Now, the worshippers of the one true God, which was Israel, they were the worshippers of the one true God, had to have a national history of rejecting the ordained source of God's word. Now, over here in the book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter, I think it is, pretty sure it is now, we're going to read about it, beginning at verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! See? Because you build the tomb of the prophet and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophet. Wherefore be you witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them that killed the prophets. Fill you up therefore the measure of your fathers. You serpent, your generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you. Notice what he said. And he said, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. Because he said, whomsoever I send that you receive, receives me. See, that's the whole picture now. And wise men and scribes, prophets, wise men, scribes, another place he even mentions apostles, and some of them you'll kill and crucify, some of them you'll scourge in your synagogue and persecute from city to city. You won't take pity on the fellow. You'll just ruin him wherever you ruin him. All in the lovely name of the Lord, too. That upon you may come the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. You see? Well, we do that too. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophet. Now, what was Jerusalem? It was the holy city of the holy people that met with the holy God. Oh, Jerusalem, not just a town now, the people in Jerusalem, that makes the city. Just like New Jerusalem coming down is more bride than city, although the same God is going to be building. If we know he's having buildings of the bride, see? In there. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her children under wings, and you would not. Now, how does God gather his children? Often. Not in the two resurrections. Their resurrections, they're not gathering. The gatherings of God's children are those coming by the ordained prophetic word of every generation. Because often is often. If you said you came to my house often, and somebody said, well, how many times have you been to Baal's house? Oh, Christ, they say often, you got to be kidding. Well, you got to go to Baal's house often. How many times? Well, I haven't missed a day in 3 years. Man, you live there. Often's often. That's enough talking about resurrection number one and two coming up. And the new resurrection, this is God's gathering by the ordained carrier of the word to that age. See? Because it's every generation God sent. Not just prophets, apostles, wise men, scribes. Apostles sent forth one. A wise man is a man that can take what the prophet said and by revelation bring it to people, and a scribe only just repeat what the other man said. See? God using his ordained method of gathering. And you'll notice here that Israel's history was one of turning down Almighty God. See? Because when they sent to turn down the one God, sent to turn down God. Amen. They deposed the priesthood for a rabbinical order. That's right. When they went into captivity, they went in with a Levitical order, a temple, and the Torah. They came back with the synagogue, the rabbinical order, and the Talmud. A complete substitution in the Trinity, which shows a flat, absolute rejection of God. Everything's got a Trinity in it. Your body, soul, and spirit, and it's just like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Antichrist, false prophet, and the beast, right down the line, everything in the Trinity. Now, they did this. They deposed the priesthood for rabbinical order, and with no revelation, now get this, with no revelation, they voided the word of God by their tradition. Now that's scripture. In the 15th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 to 9. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. Now that's pinpoint the thing. They came to Jesus. They were the leaders of the most holy place, where the holy God was worshipped by the holy people. All everything is so called but the holy God. He is not so called, he is holy. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answers unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and now he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, whosoever, notice, he said, you say, isn't that what the book of Malachi says? You say, and doesn't Revelation 3:14-22, which is our age, say, you say. There you are, in complete traditions at the end time. If you can't see that, brother, sister, you've got to be blind in the back. There is, you say. Can't you understand the word of God is written in perfect triplets? Malachi, here, now here. Three times, and you say. Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, if it is a gift. Whatsoever thou mightest be profited by him. I don't even know what that means. honor, I don't think they did either. His father and mother, he should be free. Thus you have made the word of God of none effect by your tradition. The word of God absolutely dies, rot, decays, and doesn't have one bit of power the minute you traditionalize. See? That's a rotten man. As it were. It's made of a none effect. In other words, the very thing that you're looking to see accomplished. You follow me? The very thing that you say you're depending on that covenant of God to produce, you have voided it by making a tradition out of it. You say, well, I'm going to get to God. You have a tradition there, brother, just you never get to God. You say, I'm going to worship God. You have a tradition, you never worship God. You say, I'm going to hear from God? No, sir. You'll not hear. Now look at it in verse 7. You hypocrite. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What's the heart? We're understanding lies. And notice, but in vain do they worship me.
Amen.
Right. But in vain. Hasn't done them one bit of good. Why? Because they haven't come by that word in the ark. Right, and they haven't come by the men that God ordained when he put the word in the ark. Right, now that may sound awful corny. Say, Brother Dave, you're preaching one of those kind of preachers. I am not preaching a priesthood. I'm simply teaching you the word of God, as it says right here in the book. And I said, you don't have to believe me. That's all right. No controversy. I just want to show you something here because I'm well aware of what's going on in the world today. I think the majority of you are too. It was supposed to be the priesthood of the Levitical order that fed the people the word, not a self-appointed group, which were the Rabbinical order.
Amen.
The Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they took over. See? They were the ones that dictated the policy. And they taught. Now, thirdly, they rejected the word for tradition, deposed the authority of the men that God had placed over them, loudly acclaiming allegiance to the prophets that they did not believe, worshiped God after the lust of the heart, and protested that they were the salt of the earth. That's exactly what they did. But it didn't do any good. Because the Bible says, in vain did they worship God, for when he sat between the cherubim on the mercy seat, and concealed himself in flesh. See? This pillar of fire concealed himself in flesh. He became a man, which he was. He became a man. And there this ark, which is Christ, hung upon the cross. See? And the mercy seat came into full view. They turned down God's prepared way, and they lost the mercy seat.
Amen.
Why did we lose it? because their God was veiled in the flesh of man. No one asked you, where was God veiled before? He was veiled in the flesh of Moses. And he was veiled in the flesh of the prophet. Because God is the Word, and the Word is God, and God spake in the prophet. And it was the Word that spoke. And now when the Word came into absolute full view, all they could do was turn it down. Because they wouldn't come by God's prescribed way. And so what did they do? They were worshiping not the true God, but the God of their imagination. And they died in their sin, having crucified the true God that they thought they were worshiping. You know, it's a strange thing. It's hard for people to get this into their heads and their hearts that Israel was worshiping God. The only people that had any right to worship God. The only ones with any insight whatsoever. The only chosen people. They ended up crucifying the very God that they worshiped. See, people say, well, that couldn't happen again. It's going to happen again. See? Now, the New Testament church has done exactly what Israel did. In the first century, they were already repudiating Paul and John and Peter and trying to make them set it there to each other. So, well, I follow Peter. I follow Paul. I follow this. I follow that. See? But these men were too shrewd. They were full of the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't allow this to happen. They wouldn't build up their creeds and dogmas and organization. See? Jude spoke about it. James spoke about it. See? These prophets who brought the Word of God the inspiration. And when these men of God who brought us the Word passed on to be with the Lord, others rose up to repudiate the message of every age. For God spoke from the mercy seat to the church in every age by the ordained apostles. Because that's the best we can call them right now. The sent forth one. To that age. Now let's go to the book of Hebrews here. The 9th chapter, and see this. How it was done. Hebrews 9, 11 to 15, I think it is. But Christ being an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that's to say, not of his building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, nor by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. See? Now he's entered in that holy place. Having obtained eternal redemption for us, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of us, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, what part of him was eternal? The Spirit. You talking about eternal Son? That's ridiculous. It's eternal Spirit. I'm eternal Son. Sons have beginnings, see? See where tradition goes in little phrases? How much more, then, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of that, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. See, we got the same thing again. We've got the mercy seat. We've got the blood. We've got people meeting with Almighty God through the prescribed ways that God has laid down. Now let's go over here to Revelation, the first chapter. Where is he? On the mercy seat. Where? Between the cherubim. On the shed blood. Where? Which is over the ark. What's in the ark? The testament. Aaron's rod that budded. The manna that came down heaven. All right? We know where he is. In the New Testament era. Revelation, the first book, first chapter, verses 12 and 13. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me. Now notice what it says. He calls it a voice. He didn't say, I turned to see the man. He said, I turned to see the voice. See? God speaking. God speaking now. Now remember, he worships this one. He turned to see the voice that spake with me, conversation. And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. See? And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like of the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, down the foot, girded the path, a golden girdle. Now right away, they say, now just a minute. This one looked like the Son of Man. Well, if you look like the Son of Man, you're not the Son of Man. Just a minute. The Greek has various expressions here. And the Greek, the word that says like unto the Son of Man, in the Greekish that gives the same word. So, John turned and saw the one who gives the same word that the Son of Man gave on earth. You hypocrite! Yeah, how often would I have gathered you? See? The very same one, he does not speak two languages. He speaks the same word as the prophet, that God's prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke here upon earth. Now, yes, that's what it says. Like unto the Son of Man, which is the one that speaks the same words as the Son of Man. Now, verse 16. And this one, now notice in the seven golden candlesticks, right to the seven church ages, see, we'll show you. And in his right hand, seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in strength. All right? Verse 20. And the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, now what are stars? See, right away, the average mind boggles on this. Because you think that there were three stars in heaven, and they met, and that was the star over Christ. The word in the Greek, the word star, is where we get the thought of a movie star, a tennis star, a football star. It means the preeminent one amongst many like him. See? The preeminent one amongst many like him. This picture of Jesus is holding seven men, and they're just ordinary, simple men. And they don't have to have a collar on backwards, and a gown on, and say, "Oh, men." And read in that cultured monotone, lifeless and dead. They are just seven men. See? And they're just as common as Jesus. Because when there stood the Lamb of God, nobody but John knew it. Because he was a man. Thou being a man, makest thyself God. See? He didn't want that. No, he can't take that thing. And so, these seven men, just ordinary common men, what are they? The plain English is they're either apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, or evangelists. That's all they are. And out of them, God takes one and says, this is the preeminent one. Amen. Of all of this age, this is that man. He is my messenger. He is my star. Amen. Now, right away, who's going to like that? Well, now, Korah's bunch didn't like that. Didn't want Moses to bring the word, see? And then the other bunch goes up against Aaron, who got the word from Moses and was taught to preach the word because he was the mouthpiece. In other words, you don't get a prophet to come on the scene, and he's the whole show. Paul said to Timothy, teach faithful men who disseminate this word. See? There's got to be a dissemination. See? There's got to be those scribes and those wise men. There's got to be those ministries in there. And they said, now let's just get rid of that too. Now how are you going to do it? Because the one that said the same words as the Son of Man is saying right here, I'm the voice in the church. I'm that one, and I've got seven men for seven ages. Now let's look at the second chapter, and we'll get to history. Under the messenger of the church, which is in Ephesus, right? These things saith he. Who is he? The whole of the seven stars. Well, that's that one. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, again, brother, whose word cannot change? Because the word of God can't change. That's exactly right. It can't change. It's irrevocable. He swore an oath, I'll abide by my word. He swore by himself. Now in verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But there's only one person God talks to originally, which is that messenger. And if you've got the Spirit of God, you're going to hear him to hear God. Oh, I know they don't want that. I know. Well, you folk do because you're kind of unusual. That was the kind of expression they used. Unusual. In the 8th verse, it says, I'm unusual with you. In the 8th verse, it says the angel to the messenger to the church which is in Smyrna, right? These things said the first and the last. See? And that's right, he is the first and the last. He starts and he's going to finish it. He starts the bride here in this. I know thy works and so on. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. But he's only talking to one man in the second church age. All right, let's go to the last age. unto the messenger which is in the church of the Laodiceans. Right, these things, that's the amen, the winder upper. The beginning of the creation of God. God creating himself in the form of flesh. See? Now, all the way down the line, preaching and bringing his word. And notice he's saying here, as I mentioned earlier, thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and so on. And don't even know that you're wretched, miserable, and blind and so forth. See? And he said, here now, I counsel you to buy of me the gold tried in the fire and raiment, and also the eye salve. Eye salve is eye ointment. And the ointment is a poultice. And a poultice is meant to remove a fragment which is festered. The old bread poultice you wrapped around your finger because you had a sliver in there and you couldn't get out. It was all festered. His brother Branham said the church, his eyes are full of matter. Like when he used to go up in the barn up there in the attic and the wind blew in, his eyes got all covered with matter, and his mother come along and put not goose grease on it, but it's that, the coon grease on it. Right, coon grease on it. And get it out, see? But in the Greek, here, it's bread, cracker crumbs. And cracker crumbs is unleavened bread, which is the unleavened word of God for the Indians, rubbing your eyes. You don't want to rub in your eyes, do you? No, because you got your creams, your doggers, and your dickens, and I know, I don't need a problem. You hypocrite. You wouldn't know split peas from buttermilk. You haven't got an ounce of vindication. And yet you turn around and say, I know, what do you know? I'm not trying to hurt anybody, make anybody feel bad, but the truth is, what do you know? Where do you stand? You can prove anything. How many of you ever had a vision technicolor as you sat up in bed at midnight and saw the armies, what God was going to do? March upon them. Raise your hand, let me see your hand. You haven't got it. I've got it, and prove it to you. Have you 54,000 prophesied and seen it come to pass? Have you got it? Raise your hand. I've got it. And I'm not vindicated. Not the least bit vindicated. I never once came in the name of the Lord with thus saith the Lord, and neither have you, neither has anybody else, but an end time prophet. And I haven't even touched the subject yet. Hallelujah. And they say, I'm going to turn down the ointment. You haven't eaten any flesh and drunk his blood in your head. Yeah, anointing sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? Like a drop a little eye drop, honey. That just got little things, just gives you the thing. It says you're blind and full of matter.
Right.
Said rub the bread crumbs in. The cracker crumbs, unleavened bread. The unadulterated, untraditional word of God's got to come back in the last day, or I'm just interpretation here and that. See? In the last day. And it says here there's one thing that God requires, and that's repent. And you can't repent unless you know you've done something wrong. There's no repentance for anybody unless he's a sinner. So the whole lock, stock, and barrel is branded in this ending. See? I don't mean that to be my subject and get off it here because I could preach another an hour and a half on Laodicea alone. We're going to forget it. But I want to show you this. In every single age, brother, sister, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ comes through the seven church age messengers. And if you want to hear God from between the mercy seats, that's right. If you want to hear from God, you're going to have to go the prescribed route, which is the route that God laid down, a messenger of the word in every age. See? And in every generation, there'll be men taking that word. I said in every generation, there'll be men taking that word. Thank you. Got one or two of you believe in it. Because the word can't change. It's still God's word, see? All right. The authority of those, they have refused the authority of those who were sent to break the bread. Now let's go to Hebrews, the 13th verse, chapter, and verse 7. It says, remember them which have the rule over you. Say, brother, there, that's a dirty Catholic word. That's not a dirty Catholic word. That's a beautiful Holy Ghost King Jesus word. Because the trouble with the Protestants is you don't know what the Bible says. Because the New Age Version says, rule my sheep, rule my sheep, rule my sheep. And your Bible says, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. You think it's feed, when it's not. It's feed, rule, feed. Go and look at it. Don't believe in ruling? Let me read it the way it's written. Remember him. It doesn't say remember him. It says remember them. Bless God, I'll stand with the messenger, seven church age. Is he of them? I only saw one, and I saw Brother Branham. Says him. That doesn't say him. It says them, which have the rule over you. Who has the rule? A man has the rule. Women say, I can preach because I don't rule over them. The minute you open your mouth to a man with the word of God in the church of God, you're ruling over him. Because it's not the man that rules, it's the word that rules. But God's ordained. Then men take that word and keep the authority of God within the church. It says here that spoken to you the word of God whose faith follow, considering the end of their behavior. And in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Men sent to guard the sheep of Almighty God. Not for filthy lucre, not for gain, not for them, because any true man of God that's called to take care of the sheep never wanted to take care of sheep. Never has and never will. See? Let's go back to the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And again in the fourth Ephesians, the 11th to 17th verses. And he gave some apostles. When did you? When he ascended up on high? All right, that sounds very good. Sounds very good because he did ascend up on high. But you know what he did? When he ascended up on high, led captivity captives, gave gifts to men. And what about this one that ascended up on high? The one that ascended up on high says that he came down again. When he came down by the Holy Ghost, and what did he do? He gave some apostles, some prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and so on. Yes. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Say, Brother Bill, I'm going to pray my way through. Glory to God. I just talked to Jesus. He talked to me, and I don't need anybody. Now, somebody messed up somewhere. Somebody's wrong. Because the Bible doesn't read that way. The Bible said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Said, Brother Ben, I just all want to get edifying. Praise God. I speak with those tongues. Woohoo! All right, woohoo. Go ahead. I can do it, you can do it. The Bible distinctly said, Paul speaking, the one that wrote this, said, he said, you don't get edified by speaking tongues except that small internal edification. But if you want the real edification, you have got to come by the understanding. Got to come by understanding. Why? Because there alone is where God is revealed. God is not revealed by tongues, nor is anything revealed by tongues. The revelation of God comes by the understanding with the mind, the womb. Then the Holy Ghost lights upon it like dew upon the grass. Revelation breaks in the full force, and the word of God comes up vindicating that you're in Christ and Christ in you because you produce that word. Just like God produced the word, you produced you. Now you'll produce that. See? Showing that God spoke you. Now you spoke that. God placed you in the place of ascendancy within the throne. Now you go back to the throne. Amen. It's got to be by the word. As it comes in the word, as God ministers the word. See? Now it says here, this work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature. That's at the very end day. God tell you tonight, Laodicean people, you that would reject the ministry that God has ordained, you're wrong. You're wrong. This is one of the things Brother Branham knew would come. That people would accuse the ministry. I'm not trying to vindicate myself. I've been to Kipling wrote a book about me. It's called The Cat That Walked Alone. That's right. I wish to go down the road with nothing and trusting God and getting there. I wish to give away all we had and go bare, literally naked and trust Almighty God. I wish for 3 years to trust God with nobody behind me. And I'm in debt to no man. Except their gratitude of love. Trusting God. You say, Brother Bill, then what do you need to do? Come down, no people support me and supply my needs because I took my step of trying to serve God's people. Which God called me to do. And it says this is going to endure until the end. Till it's all over. See? See, I'm going to worship God, but I don't need anybody. I'm just going to do this on my own. See? That we henceforth be no more children. This ministry was given to bring maturity to God's people. Can you find maturity in a pastor rejecting church? You've never seen and never will do it. Men rise up and reject the pastor and have no confidence. Wouldn't it have been great if God didn't have confidence in David? He said, David, you spoke by my mouth, they wounded my hands, and I'm going to fool you. No hands, no feet, David, no size. Or else with it. Well, we'll try the side of it. Huh? Sure, that's how people would talk, wouldn't they? God didn't talk that way. God never said he sent your race a superman. God never said he gave you someone so perfect and so flawless, bless God, that he was Jesus Christ himself. He just said he sent men.
Amen.
These fallible men. Not infallible. And amongst them, he sent a man of preeminence who would tell them. See? So they wouldn't be wrong. Why? Because we don't want children anymore. Tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine, and a sleight of men, and cunning crafters, whereby they lie in wait. You reject the ministry that God gave, you're a prey to the devil. See? But speaking the truth in love, we'll make up unto him in all things, which is the head even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effect of working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God says right here, the first step is to take what he said was right. And then he said, when they fulfilled the obligations devolved upon them by the officers that God gave you, he said, you'll come into a wonderful place. And he said, all the cross, he said, you wanted to come to this place. He said, here's how you're going to get there. One of the first things that people do in every age is to want to repudiate God's way of doing things. Now let's go back to the 20th chapter of Acts, just in case somebody just doesn't understand what the Word of God said, because recently I heard a person who didn't understand what the Word of God taught. In the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, it tells you here the dangers that are in this world. In the 17th verse of the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, and from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, there is no such thing as an elder in the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
Apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor. That's the way it is in the book by the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians. That's the way Brother Branham quoted it. Apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist. Evangelist, pastor. In that order. See? The elder doesn't belong there. Why? Because the elder is the man that desires to be a worker in an official capacity in the body of Christ. He wants the job. And if he can line up to certain qualifications, he can have it. And if he goes all the way, they'll even give him tithes and support him. He's worthy of double honor, said Paul. All right? Verses 25 to 32. And now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record. Put it on a record, said Paul. Come on, write it down. See? Put the challenge there. Make a record of it. I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? Why are you pure, Paul? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. But Paul, you said so many things that are so hard to understand. I know it, and I stick with it. But I did it, and I teared an apron, said Paul. How many people might can sit here and raise their hand and say, I tell you, Brother Dale, I believe everything Paul said because I understand it all. Not one. Either cut off our hands or sitting on them. Never raise those hands. Well, how many people, because you don't understand, are going to throw it in? Nobody. Boy, they sure like to throw away the prophet's message, though, don't they? My, I tell you, I don't understand something. This is one of them. Take heed, therefore, verse 28, unto yourselves and to all the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Well, you say, now, just a minute. If the Holy Ghost made them overseers, and they wanted the job themselves, how come the Holy Ghost did it? Because they wanted the job, so God said, go ahead. Now do it. And I'll hold your thumb. See, is that the way he does women preachers? Could be. You know they're going to go anyway. Now he said, take heed, to feed the church of God. How do you feed the church of God? The Word. What's the church get fed by? The Word. Who's going to feed them the Word? Elders. If elders do it, what about the fivefold ministry? They'll really do it. See, here's where your mix-up comes. With the church of God, which God pushed with his own blood. See? For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter. Jesus called them wolves in sheep's clothing. Not sparing the flock. amongst whom the elders. Tell me where Paul called the pastor. Now he said, take heed to feed the church of God. How do you feed the church of God?
The word.
What's the church that said that?
The word.
Who's going to feed him the word? Elders. If elders do it, what about the fivefold ministry? They'll really do it. See, here's where your mix-up comes. With the church of God, with God's church with his own blood. See? For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter. Jesus called them wolves in sheep's clothing. Not sparing the flock.
Right.
Amongst whom? The elders. Show me where Paul called the pastor. Show me where he called the apostle, and or the prophet, and the teachers, and the evangelists, the pastor. Show me where he called them. He never called them. He called the elders. And he warned the elders. And he said to the elders, listen, I know after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not think of. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples. Where do you find anybody ever, any prophet of God ever quoted this as saying the pastors are going to do this? Or the ordained men of God? He said men shall rise up. And they're going to rise up too. Oh yeah, they're going to do it. They're going to come and tell the people. Now, don't do this and don't do that. They're going to stand against the ordained authority that God placed in the church because God did it. I didn't write the book. See, I know this sounds like a defense of preaching, not preaching's way. That's the furthest thing from my heart because I don't need any defense. My life is my defense. If that's a rotten life, I got no defense. If it holds up, I got a defense. The word of God says it. Somebody's got to be in this capacity, which is a true capacity. But these here is where your error creeps in. What is it? It's the unordained in the pew that want an ordination. That's what brings about the trouble. And it has brought it about, see? Now, he said here, of your own selves, and he said they're going to rise up to draw away the sons of heaven. What? To draw away the little hearing, the little group. See? Also, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you day and night. Paul, for 3 years, did it. We were warned by the prophet in the end time of the same thing. Now, in the last days, we have a repeat of a prophet messenger. The last day we do. The Bible says so. The Laodicean church messenger is messenger number 7. And in the days of the voice of the 7th messenger, when he shall begin to sound. See? The blowing is God's up. The mystery of God shall be finished. That's perfected and brought to consummation. It'll be perfected. Gotta be. See? Right, that's right. The word of God must be this which God has declared, because the word declare means to announce the good news by his servant the prophet. The actual record of the gospel will be brought to perfection and a conclusion this age. See? Right? With the Bible says. Now this happens according to the word of God, which specifies in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Before Christ can descend to pick up the bride, Elijah's got to come and turn their hearts right back. How did he do it? The book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. He said here, in verse 19, repent therefore, said Peter, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times are refreshing, which is Isaiah 28. Right? See exactly what it is. Times refreshing shall come from the face of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, through the heavens must receive, until the restoration of all things which were spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Who was the first holy prophet? God was in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
What did God do? He brought a covenant. So therefore, the covenant abiding God will be fully exposed in this age by the prophet of this age, which is Malachi 4, 5, and 6, which is Elijah, which is Revelation 10 and 7, which is also, of course, Luke 17 and 30, which we will sort of bypass at this time without getting into the whole thought of it. So in the last days, we have a repeat of a prophet messenger like Paul, like John D., who brings the word of God by the pillar of fire, because remember, The pillar of fire are the feet, and it's the feet that's on land and sea. So the pillar of fire, the Logos of God, is now communicating to the prophet. See? And when he comes, what will it be? There will be, by the majority, a complete rejection of the bringer of that word, as in every age there has been a rejection. And in this age, the gainsayings of Korah will destroy most of the people because they'll listen to the Korahites. For what? The elders will rise up. See? And amongst those who claim to believe, see, there will be those with the Laodicean spirit upon them. That's right. Because Laodicea is anarchy. Because the word Laodicea means people's rights. We've got our rights. That's right. They'll tell you that they're in the driver's seat. And they don't intend for 1 minute to give up either. The people's rights. The so-called dignity of man. This is Laodicea. The United Nations know this because last year, 68, was the second decade, that's the 20th year anniversary of the United Nations, and they said this is human rights year, which is what Laodicea means. Human rights to people's rights. You've had 2 tens now, it'll never go to third. We're in the third, that's of course when it happened. Always in the third. You say, well, Brother Bill, it's got to run its course. No, sir. Because listen, when God calls it the third day, it can be 1 minute of the third day, and God books it third day. That's probably 3 days and 3 nights and how the earth. It's got to happen in a certain time. Not over that. See? So, we know it's got to happen soon. The whole thing runs out. So, in this age, it's this age where people rise up from the pew and reject the authority of the fivefold ministry that is sent to break the word of God to them. See? Now, what happened? This is what Brother Branham warned about in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I charge you therefore before the God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, give in season, out of season, reprove, regroup, exalt with all long suffering doctrine. Who's going to do it? Timothy's going to do it. Who's Timothy? He's the pastor. See? For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching, that word doctrine teaching, but after their own lust. Now that word lust is not as dirty a word as you think it is. That's the tricky part of knowing what the word really means. It means pleasure. See, the word lust is too strong. It makes it towards somebody way out there so far doing such terrible things. It's not. If somebody wants his own way. That's what it is. Pleasure. See? They won't endure strong doctrine, but after their own pleasure shall teach themselves, teachers having this year. It's not the teacher got him this year. It's the people got him this year. The teacher got him this year. Not. That's his trouble. He wants to say what they want him to say. See? And listen, they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now what's a fable? A fable is a story with a moral in it that doesn't mean a thing more than a moral. And so the people will go to a certain moral type of preaching and they'll forget the truth. And it's nothing but a fable. See? Nothing but a fable. Something they want to believe in. But it's not the word. And Brother Branham warned us and warned us and warned us that this was our lot in this age. And he wasn't talking to somebody down the street, believe me. If you think he was, I think he was. I was going to bring some proof, but it's not in the tape, so I won't bring the truth. Proof. Anything that's not in the tape, I'll bypass. Because it must be true there, see? Now, the whole world has this Laodicean trouble. Now remember, it's not just one place, it's every place. Because remember, when Christ condemned the Laodicean age, which he does, there isn't one good thing he says about it, except repent. And he warns us, he said, the boom is going to fall on you, because as many as I love, not that we love him, election is he loves us. See? The elect are not reciprocating, because they don't love the truth, see? Remember, brother, sister, this is the age where they turn away from the love of the truth. And they breathe the lies. When the man of iniquity, what's the word iniquity? The word iniquity is made out of two words in the Greek. The first one I can't remember, but the next one has to do with sheep food, which means he takes away the food from the sheep. Which is the word of God. You see, this age ends up in that. Now, see, we're in. Now, let's look at the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church is a very good thermometer, what's going on, a barometer. And you better watch it, because of this present pope, they're mad at him, and they're saying he's got to go, he's crazy. And the reason they say he's crazy and got to go is because they want birth control. And for the first time in centuries, the pope is actually scriptural. I respect him for his decision, because it is scriptural. Birth control is out except for very stringent reasons. Not in the Bible. Said God's ordained method we cast through the period of uncleanness. Do you follow me? All right. They said, now, Mr. Pope, Fonseca, if you say we can't do it, we're going to do it anyway. And it'll hurt our conscience. Now, we don't want to hurt our conscience, because we're going to do it. Now, you tell us it's okay. Now, listen, this is serious. Their own theologians are divided. The whole camp is divided. And they say this is the greatest test of the time of Luther, the Reformation. And they say we're going to get rid of it. Now, brother, sister, it could be later than we think. Because if he's going to hold his power, he may have to call in the money. He may have to call in the bonds. And when he does, it's curtain for the sister. Because the whole world will go after the beast. So it's nearer than you think. See, what is it? It's this spirit. And this spirit is right in the pews in every single place. Except amongst the little group. They want to go God's way, see? They want to approach unto God and hear from God. And they don't want to do it by tradition, but they want to worship right. So, look at Jude over here. The book of Jude, little tiny book, 3 and 4, and I'll get you out of here quick as I can now. Beloved, when I gave all Genesis right unto you, of the common salvation, was he for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once around all the things. Now what faith? Faith comes to hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God in its pristine jury. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Now notice how they come in. Insinuate themselves in, see? Who were before those who are into this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into the city of this, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. See? He tells you that this has to come to pass, which is coming to pass in this age. What do they want? They don't want authority. They won't have authority over it. See? That's Laodicea. What if the world passed the church just endured? They said, look, if you can't get your own way according to law, then break the law. Right. What kind of a system are we living under? We're living under the fruit of what's come up from the church. Because the church is a receptacle of God's law. And they turn God's law into their own law. Now listen, the man at the end time is also called that lawless one, right? Now what is sin? Sin is lawlessness. Now listen to me. There is only one law, and that's God's law. Don't tell me God's got a law and the devil's got a law, because that's crazy. There's only one law, God's law. The minute that you turn on God's law, you are without law, because there's no law but His, because no law will stand but God's law. There's no law but God's law. Right? All right. That is sin, that's lawlessness. The man of sin, he were driving you today? This is the spirit you've got to watch. Am I going to God lawlessly, or am I going to God by law? Am I according to the Word because I worship in spirit and truth, or am I outside of that tale? See? Not coming by man. You couldn't worship God through me. You could never, because your brother said, I'm going to worship God through you. You don't worship God through me. You don't worship God through Brother Branham. You don't worship God through any pastor. You worship God by His prescribed channels, which is that Word, which He ordained how that Word is placed. Which Word is placed by the prophet and by the messenger, and then scattered by the ordained fivefold ministry. Then the people eating on the Word, know the Word, have that Word, go to God, they hear God in between the mercy seat, and they worship God in the mercy seat, because you can't offer back to God anything but God's own Word. See? I'm gonna worship God. Yes, sir. I don't need to go to church. I just sit back and listen to tape. Well, let's just find out if we can check this by the Word of God. The Bible says over here in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, it says, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now he warns you. He said people are doing this. They refuse to come together. Now what did they have in those days? They had epistles. And up they sit around and read the epistles. Or they sat in their own home. Now brother, sister, I said there's one law, and that's God's law. Is that right? And then if you say you break God's law, you're lawless. You don't have a law anymore. Why? Because you're... Don't you see why Brother Branham said the bottomless pit is where the Antichrist comes out of, because there's no foundation for it?
Right.
There's no word for it. Now you're wrong. What are you going to stand on? You've got to stand on a law. Because there's nothing that is without a law. Let me throw my glasses out there and see what happens. It busts to pieces. Let me get exuberant, kick this over and watch how she flies. Let me flap my hands and try to fly. Can't do it. There's a law. There's a law. You're sitting here now. You're breathing that there is a law that you're going to make it to God, that you're going to get there, part of that bride. I say there's a law. You're outside of that law, you'll never make it. You got to get in that law. You say, well, your tradition, your church membership, your law. You can claim you love God and worship God. If I get another chance to preach during the second coming of Christ, I'll show you scripture. You've loved, you've quoted, you've cried over it, you love it, but I'll text your soul with it and condemn you in the presence of God by the very verse that you've loved and just, you kissed it and just ate it like it was. Didn't know that word of God would destroy it.
Amen.
I'll prove it. Before, I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you, I prove it. Because I got it by divine revelation that I preached over in Marion, Indiana. It suddenly hit me, and I said, you people, you might not preach tonight. I might not either. I'm going to show you something. Challenge you to prove me wrong. And I took him right down the line to what you need. And I said, this is awful. Well, you see what I'm trying to get at, my brother, sister? God seeking and worship between the cherubim. Well, where are the cherubim? You're over the mercy seat. Say, glory to God. I like that. Just a minute, where's the mercy seat? Don't displace him now, brother, sister. Leave it where he is. Don't try to get Christ away from there. Put him where he is. Where's the mercy seat? It's over the ark. Now, what's in the ark? The word, the rod, the man. Now, if you want to get to God, you've got to go over these, so that's where it is. So, I don't need that prophet. You don't? Let's just find out. Let's go to the book of Revelation, the very last chapter, by the way, of the very last book. And let's find the very last thing that is said by the very last voice. For I testify unto you in verse 18 that every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now listen to me. It can only happen one time, because the plagues are the great tribulation. Right? You know that. Is God going to raise everybody up from the dead and put them in the tribulation? Can't be done. Now, there's a few cities here tonight. Have you added one word to God's book? Have you got your creeds and dogmas? Have you talked about an eternal son? Find that in the Bible. You said I've got an eternal son. Find that in the Word, would you please? You talk about a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Find that in the Word, would you please? How can you have a Father and a Son and the Holy Ghost as three members when God was his Father, and yet he's begotten by the Holy Ghost? That eliminates one. Or Jesus had two fathers. Now let's eliminate the Holy Ghost, because the one that ascended came back. That's Jesus. Now you added to God. And Paul warned you. He said, if any man preach any other Jesus, he said there'd be another one. Or another spirit. They call him the second person, third person rather. That you'll sit here and you say, I didn't add Brother Dale. And if they God says he'll have the plague, you'll see the tribulation. Not because I say so, because I don't want anybody to have a plague. Any more than I want to have a plague. I've had boils and they're bad enough. You ever had a boil, you know how you can suffer. Some people had carbuncles, that's worse. Now listen, verse 19. And if any man shall take away the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and of the holy city and the things written in this book. When did that happen before? In Psalm 69, where they crucified Christ. Now listen, the end time messenger, the Bible said, will bring to perfection the gospel as enunciated by the prophet. Peter said, from the first prophet to the last prophet, Elijah would restore, because Christ said he would. So at the end time, brother, sister, there's a man that came on the scene, vindicated, who brought the whole word of God. You see, I'm going to get to that man. I'm going to get to God without hearing that man. You're wrong. Because you're either taking or adding to. You see, I don't need a prophet. You took from the book, because Revelation 10:7 said there is one.
Yeah,
see? Now, I'm going to have my creeds and dogmas. I believe my church says you've added to the book, the place you come.
Yeah.
Not because I say it. Because it doesn't matter what I say. It matters what the word says. He said, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to reach God any way I want. Are you? The Bible says he's between the cherubim. There's only one way you're going to get there. God's prescribed me. I'm going to get to Jesus, Brother Dale. Prove it. Have you come the way he said? Have you repented and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, that's the word. You know, nobody in the Bible is baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Those are titles. He said to take those titles and next get the name. And the name's Lord Jesus Christ. So what about that? Have you been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? If you are, you'll be in the Word, you know, because the Word and the Spirit are one. They don't agree, they are. The Father, Word, and the Spirit, these are one. Don't say they agree. Although there's agreement there, they're one. When you're one, you got to agree. I'm body, soul, and spirit. Believe me, I agree. I'm one. There's an egg that's got a shallow white little skin inside, a membrane, and a bit of stuff on the outside and the yolk inside. That's one. They agree. Can't break it. Cause destruction. Never bring forth life. Just break it. It's got to come right, see? All right, you got the Father, Word, and Spirit. They agree. All right, what about that word, you know? I can worship God anywhere I want. Brother, sister, listen to me. I'm going to tell you one thing. If I didn't know in my heart and understand what I'm getting across, and hope you understand, that I have pinned my entire faith in the message of this age. It is not that Brother Branham took the place of Jesus Christ. The man misunderstood it. A very sweet brother from Louisiana. He thought I meant that. So at the table out west a while ago, he said, Christ is our righteousness. And I caught it. I said, but my dear brother, Brother Branham is not my righteousness. He came to make sure the promise that God said was mine. See? Now do you see where we're going today? God didn't just say worship me. He said the Spirit and the truth. He laid down how it was done. He said it's based on this word. Look, he said, I gave you vindicated prophets. I gave you ministry. Come on, get to this. Don't separate yourselves and stay home and run. You people don't need you wouldn't be here. But I'm here. Listen, you know what this message is for? To make you know why you come and worship the way you do. To let you know where you're placed and how you stand. And then when somebody wants to throw you a curve, you know where to. It's not, you know exactly how to catch it. You may be able to help somebody, brother. Because the Bible says, this house done. Stick with that word in that, brother. Because nobody can have the Holy Ghost and go against that word. Nobody can be in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and have a creed or a dogma. Nobody can say, I've heard from God. And it's full of creeds and dogmas. And you're not coming God's prescribed way. And nobody can say, I worship God, His Spirit and truth, and then bypass what God laid down. See, get him. I want to repeat again, and this is on tape. I am not preaching a priesthood that you come through. I am preaching the Word of God that ordained that if a man will worship God in spirit and in truth, he will have his life edified by the processes that God laid down. And those processes lie in man. I hate to hurt your feelings, honey child. But just as I stand here tonight, and I say, except for the prophet of God, I wouldn't know my left hand and my right hand. Amen. The book of Malachi says in the end time, you would not know righteousness from wickedness. You would not know who serves God and who does serve God. And Jesus said just at that end time when the judgment came, there'd be many coming that day and they have done miracles in Jesus' name. They have cast out devils and he'll say, depart you that work iniquity. Now that iniquity is an unrighteous act. And they're condemned for it. You say, how can a man be condemned for using the name of Christ in a glorious manner? Because God said so. Because you did it apart from God's prescribed word. See what I'm preaching? I hope I'm getting this across. If I repeat it until everybody goes out of your ears ringing, I am not preaching a priesthood where men come by me. There's only one mediator. I preach one truth, and that is worshiping God in spirit and truth. Must absolutely conform to what God laid down, whereby men do it. Which is God gave the word by his prophet and by his messenger there is. Then the word was disseminated and broken to the people, and they edified and brought into this conformed unity in Jesus Christ, filled up, adding members and going on serving God. Yeah. Amen. Not trying to say am I anybody useful, any pastor, this or that doesn't know. Not trying to say it, God said you are. Not saying any man. Any man couldn't get to Christ.
He had to come through preacher. No, sir. He comes by God's prescribed channel of that word emanating and being disseminated. See? Like that old Ethiopian. Why did Ethiopian have the Bible? Why did God have to send Philip down there? See, you take one out, take it all out. See, take one out, you take it all out. You got it? Leave it in, brothers and sisters. Leave it in. Pray for your pastor. Pray for him. Hold him up in prayer. Pray for the men of God that try to serve him. See? Because they only try to do it for one thing. Not to be heard, because who wants to be heard? Who even wants to, that's not in a man's heart. To want public view if he's a real man of God. See, that's not. We're not trying to fire this. See? You're not trying to fire this. But I hope that it built you up in the Word of God to see tonight, brother, sister, there is a right way of worshiping and hearing from God in the way God heard it. And in that, coming to a place of the knowledge. What is that knowledge? Doesn't God's Word come to pass? When He said, let there be light, wasn't there light? If God Almighty put the ministry in the church and said, this is what it would do, don't you think that'll do it? Huh? And if that's what He prescribed for His day, for His own bride, and it comes to pass, then isn't that what you do? Amen. Let's do it, brother. See? Now I know what I'm talking about. Because look, I preach a lot, preach long, long winded and all that sort of stuff, you know. I know what it'd be preaching. And I'll tell you what. It'd be easier thing just to sit at home and say, well, I'm going to hear my kids myself and do this and that. See, huh? But He said, don't you forsake it. And so much the more as that day approaches. So much. There's a camp meeting 6 days out of the week. Bless God, let's work one day and give God six. Well, it's not quite that. I'm just trying to show you. You follow me? The Lord bless you. I hope you understand. Hearing from God and worshiping God, you come by the Word. The redeemed Word of God, and God prescribed it. Amen. I like that, brother. Sister. I like it. Amen. The Lord bless you. Shall we rise? Let's rise and do this. But you want to sing? Brother Bobby likes to sing, so let's just rise. Have a little prayer, and then we'll sing. Amen. Maybe he can sing a careful song, because I'm going to rough preaching. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for descending with Thy people tonight to hear the word of the Lord God. Knowing, Lord God, tonight we have not tried to lift any man up or put any man in preeminence. No. But, oh God, if there are members in Your body, and we know that everyone has a very deaf and wonderful little mission, so that the finger cannot say to the eye, I'm not the eye, I'm nothing. Oh, it is. It's a part of the body. It's just as much a cell of the body as the eye is. Yes, sir. Lord, tonight, and let Your people be in that attitude, oh God, we're all one, we're all needed, we're all something, Lord, and somebody's been given a job to do it, to edify that body, Lord in heaven. I don't only pray for acceptance of that person, oh God, it's because they've got it, you said, but Lord, I pray that when they are accepted, they'll be worthy of the acceptation. Oh God, help Your pastors. Help Your evangelists and Your teachers and Your prophets and apostles, wherever they are this day, Lord. There's a little group, Lord, that's left in the end. And help them, oh God, I pray, and anoint them by the Holy Ghost, I pray, in Jesus' name. Until from the top, Lord, as it was in Aaron's day, from the head to the beard down to the very pomegranate, singing and rattling there upon the with the bells upon the shirt, oh God. Right down to see, let the oil flow, oh God. Making this one in the anointing. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, for Your glory. Amen. The Lord bless you.